Music Radio Free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. To educate, they educate. And we sit back.
This is Art from Philly subbing in for Rick Adams today. He asked me to help him out. And speaking of helping out, I asked RBN listeners if you can help out RBN with a donation. Either call them at their, at their office there, which is 800-724-2715, and they could use the help. So today I want to review quite a few things. I'm from Pennsylvania, southeastern Pennsylvania, so I have a unique viewpoint on what I see, the situation that we're seeing on a nationwide viewpoint here. From my viewpoint, we are seeing a multi-generational cabal that is overtaking our country. And they've been doing it piece by piece for decades. And I'm going to basically explore that with you and show you how this came about. So if we go back to where I see it becoming, you know, evolving into the situation we see now, where we can see it is from two points that evolved into the current situation. One is the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank, okay, the creatures of Jekyll Island. And one of the players there was Jacob Schiff from the company called Kuhn & Loeb, which then merged into Lehman Brothers. And then in 2008 crash, that the top executives, Stephen Schwarzman and Peter Peterson, formed the Blackstone Group. And they were powerful enough to buy up a lot of the real estate that crashed and burned during the 2008 mortgage crash. And I'm sure they're going to be doing it again in 2021 crash of commercial real estate. Now, they were powerful enough that when Trump became president, that Stephen Schwarzman was going to set up and head the business council for the entire United States. So they decided that wasn't a good idea. The other point is go back to what they call the media wars, going back to 1900. And here he had people like the Annenbergs, Max and Moses Annenberg, would go into communities like in Minnesota. And a friend who told me his relatives were the victims of it, where Max Annenberg came in with his cronies and they machine gunned them down because they're running a newspaper and they didn't do what they asked them to do. Now, going forward from that point, we had the St. Valentine's Massacre, and Capone was down in Florida, so he basically covered his trail there. But shortly after that, they went to Atlantic City, set up the National Crime Syndicate, okay? And who did Capone bring along with him was Moses Annenberg, who was running the race wire for, you guess, for the syndicate, so they could basically compute the odds in their favor and make a lot of money. Now, that translates. One of the things the Annenbergs did run is that they took over Ticketmaster. And I guess we've heard recently that we're hearing about Ticketmaster now forcing people to, to basically take a COVID vaccine if they want to get a ticket for, you know, a sporting event, a music event, or whatever. All right. Now, in his National Crime Syndicate meeting in Atlantic City, they had Meyer Lansky was there. His wife, Anna Citron, was the cover story. She was the cover story for that meeting, saying that they were celebrating her honeymoon, Lansky's honeymoon to his first wife. She then basically developed dementia in her older years and ended up in a retirement home in southeastern Pennsylvania. And that happened around 2010, towards the end of her life. Now, in addition to that, we go forward to the JFK administration. Okay, before the beginning of the JFK administration, you had Castro take over Cuba. And what he did is he got rid of the casino interest, the mafia casino interest, out of Havana. And as a result of that, Meyer Lansky worked closely with his friend, Max Fischer, one of the members of Murder Incorporated, and Lacoud. And he influenced the Eisenhower administration to work with the CIA to set up the Bay of Pigs affair. So we saw how that fiasco ended up in an absolute disaster. And it wasn't supported by JFK because he didn't know what was going on. It was happening and all set up before, just as the administration started. Now, how did JFK rise to power? The way he rose to power was his father, Joe Kennedy, made a deal with Joe Bonanno out of Chicago to, basically support the presidential race in 1960 to support JFK to win the election. All right? Then they had what they called the Mafia Wars, ran 1962-63, where it split up in what they called the Northern Mafia and the Southern Mafia. Southern Mafia was controlled by Joe Bonanno and his underbosses, Sam Giancana, Santos Trafficante, and Carlos Marcellus. Okay? And yet, we hear in the assassination of JFK that, Joe Bonanno had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was just a local affair. That's a nice fairy tale if you want to talk about it. Now, in addition to that, you had Nellie Connelly was interviewed by Larry King, one of his shows. And Nellie Connelly says, I was in the limo with JFK when the assassination. And the whole story of the Warren Commission is bunk. All right? So this is straight from the mouth of one of the people who was in there. And you can see from the videos going back to that point in time as the limo is taken off, going underneath the bridge, you can see bullets hitting the bridge and knocking all pieces of concrete as it's going underneath there. So there was a lot more going on there than what people were reported. So how did the Warren Commission appointment come about? It came about through LBJ appointing it, working with his friend, J. Edgar Hoover, to set it up as a commission in the state of Texas to make sure there was only a single player and not a conspiracy, because then he would lose control of the investigation and it would go to the Senate and House Committee of Permanent Investigation in Washington, D.C. So he made sure that they wanted to have it as a single bullet, a lone gunman, to make sure that people did not see what happened there. Let's look at some of the dynamics how the investigation came about. So if you look at the deathbed confession of E.J. Hunt, he draws a diagram. And he basically draws, it's shown LBJ at the top and Cord Meyer of the CIA. And then he shows some other people there. It's what he didn't show in that diagram, which is important when you connect the dots to see what really happened. All right. Now, who was above Cord Meyer running the CIA? It was George Herbert Walker Bush. All right? What was Cord Meyer doing? He was working very closely with Operation Mockingbird to control the media by the CIA, working very closely with Walter Annenberg. Okay? Now, also to note here, Cord Meyer had an ex-wife, Mario Pinochet, who actually was there at the JFK assassination, and she was identified as the person showing the umbrella as JFK drives by, and then I don't know if she opened her clothes. She was wearing, which she was basically wearing some, a raincoat, which was kind of unusual for that type of weather there. Now, we look at the how this came about. We know that Arlen Specter and Richard Sprague were appointed to the Warren Commission. Now, how did that appointment come about? It came about through Richard Swiker, and I believe Gary Hart was the other one, but primarily Richard Swiker of Pennsylvania, getting these two guys appointed to the Warren Commission. Now, both of them were district attorneys for the city of Philadelphia, which had major corruption even to this day. We're seeing it in this election right now. And in the Dilworth administration, it was so corrupt that they, for instance, tried to build the art museum, where we see the movie Rocky, and they couldn't build the entire museum because a lot of the money was siphoned off to public corruption. They finally did get it built, obviously, because it's there. Now, Swiker basically had a wife, Claire Swiker, and she was identified, and we looks at the old TV shows, as Miss Romper Room. And she worked for WPVI-TV. Okay? And she would work directly under Walter Annenberg, you know, the son of Moses, who was directly identified as one of the members of the Capone Syndicate, the Jewish side, the Cosa Nostra side of the syndicate. Now, it's interesting to see how that appointment came about. Okay? One thing to realize is, for instance, Arnold Specter was a Democrat before the JFK assassination back in 62. Okay? He switches over, becomes a Republican, and he's supported by the Bucks County Republican Party leader, Herbert Barnes. Okay? When he left the party, he used to have his haircuts done down at the Dilworth Plaza in Philadelphia. And he sold a barber there, and says, I can't see you anymore because you're on the other side. Word on the street was, the barber was so angry with Specter that he walked around with a sawed-off shotgun ready to take him out over the next couple months. Specter, Ed Brindell, became mayor and governor of Pennsylvania, mayor of Philadelphia, lived in a tract of homes right by what they call Gladwin, the Eno Falls in Conshohocken, which is run by the Ciccoliani family, which were bootleggers out of Philadelphia, back from the 20s all the way up to the 30s, I mean, up to the 70s, when they were basically prosecuted and through Paul Tressler and the Montgomery County detectives. What they failed to do was to identify that corruption went all the way up to Arlen Specter, who, after JFK assassination, he became head of the Senate Intelligence Committee and the Senate Judicial Committee. All right? Now, another party there, there's a book out called JFK Depolitics. I'd have to look up the author, but it's available on Amazon, and it's available on Google Books on the web for free. You can read the pages there. They identify with JFK the close affiliation that Jack Ruby had with none other than Walter Annenberg. And he also was identified as an informant on organized crime to Richard Nixon. Now, his nephew became a judge, Alan Rubenstein, in Bucks County, under the same Bucks County Republican Party that was run by Herbert Barnes, who supported through Barnes and through Walter Annenberg to get Specter to the Warren Commission to cover it up. Now, what's more interesting here is you can start to see how things evolve going forward, all right? So if you look at the Bush Library, George Herbert Walker Bush Library, which if you look at a website, noplaceforcorruption.com, I got a copy of it there, and they show a fundraiser for Arlen Specter in June of 1992. And it's just the last paragraph of that fundraiser that's important. It was, the speaker was George Herbert Walker Bush, and the supporters were Walter Annenberg with the Moses L. Annenberg Fund, Herbert Barnes, and you'll never guess who else the other one was, Joe Paterno. we saw the scandal with the second mile, Joe Paterno, you can start seeing some of the coincidences there. Another part was this guy, Herbert Barnes, who passed on, also appointed Robert Asher, who's now the current National Committee Man for the Pennsylvania Republican Party. Robert Asher is a convicted felon when our state treasurer, Bud Dreyer, blew his brains out on TV, over public corruption. So why is it this man running the Pennsylvania Republican Party when there's millions of people in the state? Why is it this convicted felon doing it? So I actually asked a Pennsylvania state senator, Joe Conte, that question. And he said, he's the head of the Senate State Police. I said, what are you doing about it? And he simply says to me, Asher is a man of honor. I won't touch him. Okay? In a sense of what Joe Banana said, man of honor. So that tells you what's going on there. All right? Now, let's go forward to the other side of the fence here. We have Josh Shapiro, okay, who's the Attorney General for Pennsylvania. He ran for Attorney General against two other seasoned prosecutors of, you know, from different counties in the state of Pennsylvania. Judge Shapiro has no experience in any trial law. He does have a law degree, but he never tried anything. So here it is, he's appointed to become the top prosecutor for the state of Pennsylvania. Well, he started his career as a state representative in Pennsylvania, in Abington. Okay. Then he became a commissioner for Montgomery County. And I addressed him on the No Place for Hate programs by the Anti-Defamation League with his other member of the Montgomery County Commissioners, Val Cush. I says, you're supporting organized crime. Okay? The Anti-Defamation League is a front for the Brofman crime family. What are you doing about that? He pauses for several minutes, takes one or two other questions, then rhetorically says, I fully support the Anti-Defamation League and their hate laws. Okay? Another thing he boasted what he did as a state representative is he was responsible for the removal of Pennsylvania state pension funds being invested in the state of Iran, which is nice. Didn't do anything about it being funded in the state of Israel, I'm sure. So we see it's Josh Shapiro then basically as Attorney General. He basically supports, you know, some changes to the election laws that were not approved by the legislature. So, for instance, if you could fog a mirror, you could vote. It's pretty much what he was saying. You know, no validation that they're a citizen of the, no validation of who they are. Okay. If they show up, give it to them. He's the one that he says, all right, let's allow mail-in ballots to be processed 3 days after the election. Why is that? Obviously, so they work on a fix if they need to. Okay. And we're seeing that. So now let's look at Joe Biden's rise to power. Joe Biden, like Hillary, grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Now, if you remember Appalachian, which was the back in the 50s, where the Buffalino crime family, and I think it was Joe Barbara, that they caught all those organized crime figures up there. Now, you might know a little about the Buffalino crime family. Their territory extends all the way up to Niagara Falls and down to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Okay, so it's interesting that we have two people running for president of the United States who are under the domain of the Buffalino crime family. All right. Now, Biden basically, his current wife, Jill Biden, the word on the street was that, he says that they met, socially. What was heard is that basically after his wife died, I believe from a car accident, that she was helping with, daycare for his children, and that developed into an affair, which resulted in her divorcing her current husband at that time and marrying Joe. All right, so then Joe basically gets into politics down in the state of Delaware. All right, now let's look at Delaware, for instance. Once upon a time, there was this guy named Max Fisher, who was a power broker for none other than Jerry Ford. Max Fisher was the founder of the Republican Jewish Coalition. He was identified as one of the members of the Likud and also goes back to being identified as one of the figures associated with Mo Dalitz and the Murder Incorporated. Okay? So let's honor the Max Fisher School of Business over there at Ohio State University when you actually see what he's really all about. So Max Fisher then basically, he basically ran a company called Aurora Oil and Gas and also the Speedway gas stations. You might see them down South Lake in Tennessee, down in D.C. and all that. So he sold them off to the Brofman family, the Brofman crime family out of the bootleggers. And we'll continue the story on the other side of this, and we'll take calls, if you like, at 800-313-9443. Or...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to RBN. This is Art from Philly subbing in for Rick Adams today. He asked me to help him out. If you can help RBN, please support him. And we are taking comments on the air at 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. So I'm going to continue this information on Joe Biden. Joe Biden, obviously we know, was a senator in Delaware. By the way, he had a close long-term relationship with Arlen Specter. They used to take the Amtrak train together all the way down to D.C. over the years. So, in Delaware, you had a merger of Marathon Oil, which was, let's first go back one step. Max Fisher ran Aurora Oil and Gas, Marathon Oil. I meant to say Speedway, which was then merged into Marathon Oil, owned by the Brafman crime family, the Seagram boys. Okay, next to the boys also, and the ADL boys. So in the mid-'80s, between 84 and 87, what happened is the merger of Max Fisher's business then became Marathon Oil. Then you had Marathon Oil merge into DuPont, okay? And that's when the Brafman boys took over that company. Now, you also may have seen on a Charlie Rose interview, it showed Edgar Brafman Jr. bragging about after he got DuPont that he was taking out $1 billion a day from that single company after that takeover. Now, if anyone knows much about Delaware, you realize that DuPont controls the politics and the situation down there, which means the Brothmans control it. And by the way, they're also directly related to the Campbell Soup family. And that was also identified on the American Free Press, and the king of debt, you know, Brothman debt, they showed that he had direct ties to Quaker Oats and Campbell Soup. But you can see directly from that, this is the political environment where Joe Biden rose to power. Okay? Now, Obama rises to power. How did he do it? Well, he started out working in Chicago. He got to know Bill Ayers, one of the weathermen. Okay? Then he worked for the Chicago Vandenberg Challenge, No Child Left Behind, run by the Vandenberg boys. Okay? Out of the Vandenberg School Reform Committee, or whatever it is, organization up in Rhode Island. Okay? So we can see that that's how Biden and Obama rose to power, directly backed by the Vandenberg Crime Syndicate, and became president and vice president of the United States. Okay? We can see how Biden was directly tied in with the Brothman Syndicate through their control of the situation in the state of Delaware. Now, I guarantee you that I doubt you're going to ever hear them talk about this. Okay? Doesn't mean it's not a fact. It means what it is. So we can see the direct correlation going back to the JFK assassination, you know, the taking of America 1-2-3, and how Biden is in power to become potentially the next president of the United States by hook or crook. I'm sure many of the people in IBM have been hearing about how the election counting's been fixed, and there's no doubt about there's a lot of shenanigans going on with the election here to make sure it's filled in a certain way. And we can see also how the media, for instance, Fox News is, preventing a dissenting voice when the news press secretary for the Trump administration was cut off. So you can see how the media is absolutely trends all the way back to Operation Mockingbird to make sure they have a certain agenda they want to push to the American people. Now, let's look at Kamala Harris. She basically, rose up to the power structure in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, okay? And she's married to a Jewish lawyer, who, by the way, on the last few days prior to the election, was here in Pennsylvania, showing, all the benefits of having Kamala as and Biden as a ticket. When he showed up here, there was almost nobody here. I mean, that showed up for him. I mean, it was less than 100 people, what you could see, just like the circles. So it's funny how, there's nobody supporting these candidates, and yet they're winning millions of votes. So, you can see a lot of, personally, obviously, it's statistically next to an impossibility. And that we're going to determine that, who's going to be next president. The reality is we don't know who won. The reality is we may have anarchy as a result of it. And may not have a real representative government either way, the way this election comes out. Okay? And I support the people, fighting for Trump to make sure we have a clean and fair election. It's long overdue. And we can see how this came about not in one day, not in one decade, but over a series of decades. And I can see firsthand from being in southeastern Pennsylvania the influence of what I would call the Cosa Nostra communists doing this to us. And they're down all the way to the school boards throughout our country and all the way up to the national elections. And what we need to do, if we're going to turn this around, is each one of the individuals needs to basically identify the issues and the people pushing these agendas in your local communities. For instance, in my local community, they were pushing, the smart meters. First, the smart meters with the electric company, which in our area is called PECO, Philadelphia Electric Company, part of Exelon. Okay? So they wanted to push through several smart meters on the people. And roughly, in our area, we got, close to 2 million people got these smart meters. I actually litigated, don't have a smart meter at this point. All right. Talk on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser.
Good day, folks. Welcome back to RBN. This is the Rick Adams Show. This is Art from Philly subbing in for Rick. And I understand we got two callers, so let's go with them. We got Dan from Washington. You're on the line.
Hey, Art, thanks for taking the call. I'm happy to hear you're filling in today. Enjoy your commentary.
You got it.
I got two questions. One regarding when Obama got elected. I was watching the McLaughlin Group. I don't know if you remember that show on NPR. And McLaughlin made a comment that the Chicago mob was taking out the New York mob, because as soon as Obama got elected, there was all these raids on New York mafia heads. And I just wonder if that was true. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I think it's when John Gotti was taken down that the Chicago boys took it over. And you also have to realize National Public Radio, part of Operation Mockingbird, is owned directly by the Annenbergs. So you're listening directly, you're hearing it directly from the voice of the Chicago syndicate when they're saying that.
Yeah, I know NPR is a pretty weird thing. I at least back in the 80s, you used to get a few different points of view, and that McLaughlin Group was always kind of good. But yeah, definitely you got the Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, and well, real quick, what do you think about the Ford Foundation? I mean, it's not ran by Henry Ford's family, is it?
What I understand, I didn't follow up the current ownership. Obviously, when Ford was talking about it, he identified these issues. But obviously it's changed a lot since that point in time. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. You
know, they're pushing the agenda, that's for sure.
Then my other question was JFK. Is there an Irish mafia, and do you have their recruiting line? No, I'm just kidding. Is there an Irish mafia? Was JFK part of that, or have they just all been basically destroyed when South Boston, whatever, got the FBIs or something?
Well, being Irish, yes, there is an Irish mafia, but its power is down to nothing. I don't think they have much political power at this point. And case in point, look at JFK Jr. You know, as soon as he was running up against Hillary, he decided to have an airplane crash right before he landed in Martha's Vineyard. How convenient.
Well,
okay, so
that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's almost like they have a blood libel against that family. And I think a girl, Kennedy, like a little girl or teenager, died of a heroin overdose. They've all been assassinated. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, do you see them as being part of the Irish mafia? And it's just probably Kosher Nostra taking out the Irish mafia or making sure they never rise or anything?
I think you pretty much summarized it. I think Joe Kennedy Sr. was part of the Irish mafia. Okay. The current family, you know, like Carolyn Kennedy and the others, I don't see them having, you know, much involvement with what we're seeing now, if that's what you're asking. You know,
yeah.
But I'm not up there in Beantown to actually, you know, that close to it to tell you one way or the other, okay? I don't think they have much political power, if that's what you're asking. I do think, for instance, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., where he's running a Children's Self-Defense Fund, is actually doing some good and showing that we shouldn't, you know, vaccinate our kids to death. So I think they were actually doing some benefit for the country. And
I agree. I think they're actually a good force. If there was a good mafia, they're, you know, like you said, their dad might have. And I heard even like Roosevelt and some of these old families were involved in like opium dealing in China and stuff like that. It's these old. Some of these old families we think of, but, you know.
Well, I remember that Roosevelt hired Senior, and set him up as the head of the Securities Exchange Commission. And he was asked why he did that. And he basically said the only way to deal with a crook is to hire a crook. So that's how the Securities Exchange Commission got set up.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Right.
And that's true that Kennedy wanted to start printing money outside of the Federal Reserve System, that executive order. Now, another question globally. I look at Britain, the English people, you know, you have the Queen and King and stuff, these royal families, but then you have the Rothschilds. So it's kind of, Britain is really weird to me. There's no real English mafia. It's almost like the royal families, I guess, traditionally were like kind of a mafia, but I guess they're all ran by the Rothschild family, it seems like, in Europe. Or I mean, I don't know how these other global mafias work. But,
well, there's obviously more than one, but I think they were, I would say the Rothschilds are, you know, the apex mafia as far as what I'm saying. And you can see it, for instance, you know, where did Edgar Braathman go when he went to England? You know, he went to the Rothschilds, okay? Go to Israel, which is identified as a promised land of organized crime. What's on their currency? You know, their currency has basically pictures of the Rothschilds. So if you want to see who the guys at the top are, they're the guys obviously at the top because they're controlling the financial situation.
Yeah, if you look at, like, World War One, when they would, like, kill the Tsar Nicholas, it's almost just more like a mafia hit taking out their competition, I guess.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. Basically, Germany, you know, because they're in war with Russia, they supported, you know, Jake Bischoff and the Rothschild bankers getting over there to disrupt Russia to take them out of World War One. So that part, I know that part happened, but I'm not sure exactly to what extent. So, when you're talking about taking out the Russian Tsar, the Germans are not, you know, they don't have clean hands in that situation.
Yeah, I know. That's they ended up suffering for that decision, didn't they? That was a pretty big blunder on the Kaiser's part there.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for taking the call. It's very interesting to me. I like this subject. It's because you can't understand how things really work unless you first admit that there's all these mafias and track them down, you know?
Right. And then what we got to do is start prosecuting them under RICO statutes. All right, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Yeah. You got it. So we got the next caller is Roger from Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Yes, you jarred my memory about Richard Swiker.
Yes.
How did he become vice president with Ronald Reagan when he was running in 76? I mean, who was behind that ploy? Because I remember being very, I don't want to say hurt, but disappointed when Reagan chose him as being his running mate to try to go against Gerald Ford. So you got any, insight on that or not?
I probably don't know much more than you do, but I know some facts. For instance, Swiker was obviously an inside mole for the Zionist agenda in our nation, okay? Because he played a major role working with the Chicago outfit to cover up the JFK assassination on behalf of LBJ, and the guys above him. Obviously, Joe Banana was above him, okay? And if you actually do the research from Michael Piper, Final Judgment, I actually did research, and I thought he was wrong, and everything I did is just compliment what he's saying. So I think a part of it was the fact they were trying to steal American nuclear weapons technology, Israel was, because they were wondering if they're going to stay around going up against the Arab states over there. And there's evidence that that's exactly what happened, because if you look in 67, in the Apollo affair, when Zelman Shapiro of the Zionist Organization of America meets with Raphael Eaton, the head of the Israeli Defense Forces, and also he was the power broker behind supporting Jonathan Pollard. And a couple weeks after Raphael Eaton meets with Zelman Shapiro at NUMAC near Pittsburgh, they lose almost 700 pounds of nuclear weapons grade uranium, plutonium, okay, which they said leaked out into the pipes, if you can believe that fantasy, okay? And then also part of that is you have Arlen Specter all the way up to his death, even in the Obama administration, was basically trying to exonerate Zelman Shapiro, saying, that he was just, a really good man not doing, and it was just by accident. If you believe that story on Santa Claus. Well, I wonder why Zelman Shapiro was never taken out to the firing squad and executed for treason for what he did.
Yeah, well, I saw a good movie. A good movie, if your listeners want to watch, is Iron Curtain with Dana Andrews. It's a kind of interesting movie where it talks about the spy ring up in Canada after World War II and everything. And it's kind of interesting. It's a good movie. The other thing... Ronald Reagan picked George Herbert Walker Bush. Well, don't you think Walker Bush was the one that assassinated Kennedy? The attempt assassination with Reagan or not?
There was rumors, yes, that obviously Herbert Walker Bush tried to assassinate Reagan. Okay, but Reagan was already compromised because he was part of the Screen Actors Guild, which was overrun by the Bruffman Syndicate, and he was supported Rise to Power through MCA Records. You see the big building in L.A., Capitol Records, that big circular building. And that shows that he had direct ties to the Bruffman boys. Okay, so it was definitely some organized crime issues there on both sides, both on Reagan and on Bush. Okay, so, I think it was two competing interests that were, actually going up there.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, thank you for the information. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
You're welcome. And have a good Thanksgiving. All right. Let's continue on with what I was talking about here. So I did talk about, wanted to get back to Specter and also a little bit more about Dick Swiker. Okay. Now, Arlen Specter was also involved with protecting drug smuggling, okay? Realize this man was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Senate Judicial Committee. So he had his fingers in both of those situations there. So back around early 80s, roughly around 1980, there was a drug dealer named William Hogan, or Billy Hogan was his nephew, nickname. And he was based out of Bent Salem, Pennsylvania. So he gets caught by the police, you know, in drug dealing. So he goes to a lawyer, Charles Peruta Sr., big criminal defense lawyer out of Philadelphia. He passed on, but his son is still alive. And the dialogue goes like this. Good day, Mr. Hogan. I see you got caught dealing drugs. It's a good thing you deal drugs in Bent Salem, Pennsylvania, because you're protected by Arlen Specter. Okay? So you can see, you want to know how the CIA was smuggling drugs and getting away with it. Here's a man who was, you know, back in the 80s, you know, Miami Vice and all that. And the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee and the Senate Judicial Committee is backing up a major drug smuggling activity that's been going on in Bent Salem, Pennsylvania for decades. Okay? It started back in the 60s. There was like a group of seven of them, or actually 12 of them, that were smuggling contraband up there. For instance, they caught Joe Torinetta, who was the son of the real estate mogul, who real estate business, Torinetta Real Estate near Norristown, Pennsylvania. One of his, there's a Judge Torinetta also over there. There was Paul Greco, who was caught in, Hatfield, Pennsylvania, with over, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of drugs. But they were in Montgomery County. Okay, as soon as, Bent Salem's in the next county over, Bucks County, nobody gets prosecuted. Then going into the late 70s and 80s, you hear about the FBI investigating drug smuggling coming in out of the northeastern Philadelphia airport and going into the smuggling activities over there in Bent Salem. Then there was also word on the street was that there were some of the actual Bent Salem retired police officers were driving down to Florida, you know, with their boats and coming back up with contraband. So it's been going on for decades over there. So it's a major, has been, I don't know if it is currently, but it's been a major drug smuggling hub for southeastern Pennsylvania, how they got away with it. And they were well protected by Specter running the Senate Judicial Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee. And also Specter, by the way, was the one who prevented independent investigations of the JFK assassination for over 30 years. A little more on this is the other guy who was at the Warren Commission was Richard Sprague, okay? And Sprague basically, here's an example of his character. There was a guy named Tony Kovalich, and this is no place for corruption to come. I actually talked to Tony. What happened is, this happened around 1970, you know, about 7 years after the JFK assassination in 63. I think it was called R&H Financial Services. So Tony Kovalich, up in this Grant area, was selling his coal mining equipment, like a shovel, worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we was approached by, I believe, R&H or R&S Financial Services, which was a front for Richard Sprague. So him and his wife go down to talk to him about the deal, okay? And what happens is Sprague, they said that, you know, they were asking for, you know, hand over the deed to the equipment and, you know, we'll take care of it. And Tony said, no, we're not handing over anything until we get paid for it, okay? So Specter walks out of the room and his assistant who's running our, you know, the financial services company, puts his wife into a headlock and puts a gun to her head for an hour saying, you're not coming out of here alive until you hand over the title to this equipment. So finally, at the end of an hour, they let him go and they walk away. So his wife basically goes to the elevator, has a stroke, and ends up in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. Okay? What else does Specter do? They set up a casino called the Sugar House. And he was definitely backed up. You know, one of his major backers was the casino up in Connecticut, the Monongahela Casino. I can't remember the name of it. And that was one of his backers for the Sugar House Casino in Philadelphia. Okay? So, the other thing. Sprague was actually a law professor at Temple University. Okay? And also we had there Temple University of Fox School of Business by Richard Fox, you know, another member of the Republican Jewish Coalition, okay, along with his other partner, Stephen Friedman, of the Philadelphia chapter of the Republican Jewish Coalition. And Stephen Friedman, out of Wincope, Pennsylvania, Shetland, Pennsylvania, just adjacent to Philadelphia, grew up with his friend, Benjamin Netanyahu. What a coincidence. And I actually ran into these guys, you know, when they had a public meeting, just, you know, one of many people there. And it's back in around 1990. So we get a break. Talk on the other side of the break here. Call the number 800-313-9443.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, if you want to know the truth, I don't much care for the time I was born into. It seems people aren't dying fast enough these days. They call upon science to invent new, more efficient weapons to depopulate the earth.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to RBN. This is Art from Philly subbing in for Rick Adams today, and we have several callers here. So first one we got is Laura. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Hello, Art. Do you have any more information about the American military raiding a German company that houses the Dominion servers. It just happened.
Actually, it's interesting. I didn't hear about this. So if you got some information, why don't you let the audience know?
That's all I can tell you, that our military rated a company that has Dominion servers in it. I think Trump is really going after these people big time. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you for the update.
Also,
you got it.
Also,
go ahead.
Homeland Security has been in the news a lot. And I wanted to tell you that my late father-in-law, went to University of Detroit, which is a Jesuit school. And I got Alumni magazine in the mail. And it was all about Homeland Security. To make a long story short, Homeland Security pretty much just recruits from Jesuit colleges and universities. So most of the people working for Homeland Security are Jesuits, graduates. And that's all. I just want to let everybody know that.
Okay. Well, obviously, one of the ones who set up Homeland Security was Tom Ridge, whose power broker was Robert Asher and Herbie Barnes. That's how he rose to power, become governor of Pennsylvania, and that was appointed to the Homeland Security as the first director. So you can see from the beginning how Homeland Security was set up by these guys. All right, we're going to go with the next call. I think we got a call from Terry from D.C., I wonder if she knows anything about the Freedom Rally going on today. So welcome to the show, Terry. British Columbia.
Yes, oh, hi. Can you hear me?
We hear
Hello?
You.
Hello? Oh, great.
Yes,
wonderful. Needless to say, I'm at the MAGA rally, Stop the Steal rally in D.C. There's got to be hundreds of thousands of people here, and there's every race, there's every gender. Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear that? It's wonderful.
I hear it.
And I would describe the I would describe the atmosphere as resolute, and I don't think this is going anywhere. These people are going to stand firm. Seeing signs, some humorous. I see dead people voting. Of course, lots of make elections fair again. Count every legal vote, so on like that. But there is just absolutely amazing turnout. The whole lawn, I'm facing the Supreme Court building, the Capitol building behind me. I don't know how many acres that thing is, totally full. And they marched, I got on Pennsylvania Avenue at 12th. It was packed, and they marched up to where we are now at the Justice Center. It's very exciting.
And what are they saying? What's the Freedom Rally saying?
Sebastian Gorka, I think I got here for the end of his speech, and he was giving the pathway for Trump if the states don't certify, the electors in these highly contested states. He was humorous. He said, if AOC wants to make a list, you can put me on the top. Just a lot about how they went after Trump for 4 years, and he still got more votes this time than last time. And I can't always hear everything they see. As you can imagine, it's quite noisy, but that's what I heard more clearly. Do you have any questions for me that I can answer?
Well, since you're what's your reason for going to the Freedom Rally today? What did you hope to accomplish?
Well, from everything I'm hearing in the news, everything from like the obvious why were Republican observers kept out of polling space. Okay, here we go. Let's take a break. Okay, a little Trump chant there. I want to make a comment on the software. If people want to go and look at General McEnany, he's a retired Air Force general. And he has come out about the software issue. There's something called Hammer. They should look up General McEnany, and this 2020 election, they might find something there. They did have him on One American News. He said that this was a software that was used to track terrorists in the Obama and Biden administrations. It was then used per General McEnany for spy. The CIA director, both